As you can see, it takes a village, and we have one.
Exactly.
Okay, today the scripture is Luke 24, 13 through 35. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near, went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since those things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back. They told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going to go on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. You have to bear with me a little bit this morning. I often don't sleep well. And so this morning, 3:12, I woke up. And, you know, sometimes you wake up and you can go back to sleep. But I knew. It was one of those mornings where I knew. I'm not going to go back to sleep. So I had a couple choices to make. I could either pretend like I was going to go back to sleep and toss and turn and probably wake my wife up. Or I could get out of bed and just sort of bemoan the fact that I'm tired and I can't go back to sleep and everything's terrible. Or I can make a plan and say, okay, if I'm getting up, this is what I'm going to do for the next couple hours, right? Because we were working hard getting ready for Easter up until about 2 weeks ago. And then after that, we went straight into like last minute preparations for the sock hop on Friday. And so we've had a lot going on. There's been a lot of just the regular, like, day-to-day stuff that I'm supposed to get done that I've kind of been putting to the side. So I thought, okay, this is a gift of time, right? Like, this is not how I would have chosen to spend time at 3:15 in the morning, but it's a gift of time. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to go into the church early. I'm just going to get caught up on some of this stuff so that it's not, like, sitting there, like, just general anxiety in the back of my mind, right? Like, okay, I'm going to... So I get ready. I'm ready to walk out the door about 3:45. I look at my phone, and I've got a text from Maria Coffey that Keegan's been in an accident overnight. He's stable. He's okay, but he's hurt. He's had a surgery. He's going to have a couple more before he's done. He'll be in the hospital for a while now, and so we're going to be praying for them. But I thought, okay, well, maybe this is why I'm up. So I go over to UNMC, and I visit with them for a while and spend some time there with them. And it's about time. Okay, so it's time for me to go. And I am headed back toward the church. And there's a bagel shop not far from UNMC, only place that I know of that's open at 5 in the morning. So I get a cup of coffee, and I get a bagel. And one of the people who works there is having a real bad day. And I end up spending like half an hour just sitting in there talking with, mostly just listening, talking a little bit, but mostly just listening. And by the time I actually leave there, I think, not only am I not going to get to the church early like I thought I was and get caught up on all this stuff that I had sort of in my head been like, okay, this is going to be a gift of time, right? Yes, I'm up at 3:15, not what I would have chosen, but I can put a positive spin on this. And now that's all out the window. But now I'm starting to think, actually, I'm going to get to the church later than I normally do. And so what are the things that I need to get done as soon as I get there, right? I often say, and then sometimes in the moment have to remind myself, that ministry is usually what happens, what interrupts what I thought my ministry was going to be on any given day, right? And it's often a this weird combination. It would be easy for me to say, as somebody who's not particularly gifted at planning, right? It would be easy for me to say, hey, listen, I don't plan because I just go with the Holy Spirit, right? It would be easy, but that's not how we need to make plans. It's important that we make plans, that we come up with, that we envision the future, we move toward with purpose toward something, and that we don't get so caught up in where we think we're headed that we can't see those times when God shows up right in front of us, right? This is the hard part about living a life of faith. You never get to lean too far in any direction. We are people called to live in a liminal space, a here but not yet, a both and, right? We're called to sort of stay in that middle. When people talk about like, oh, you can't do that because that may sound like a good idea, but that's a slippery slope. Well, yes, life in faith is a slippery slope. And you constantly have to be walking the line and asking yourself, have I gone too far one side or gone too far to the other? Am I not planning enough? Am I not casting a vision? Or am I so focused on where we're headed that I have not been present in the moment? It's important that these two people that we meet along this road to Emmaus, Cleopas and then this other guy that we never actually get a name for, it's important that they have a plan, right? They are headed to Emmaus. They know where they're going. And they're having a conversation about how they understand what has been happening in Jerusalem over the last few days, particularly this story about Jesus. And who knows, if they hadn't been talking about Jesus, maybe Jesus wouldn't have appeared and said, what are you talking about, right? Even though what their understanding was incomplete, and which we will find out in just a moment, even though their understanding was incomplete, even though the story they're telling was not the story that Jesus wanted them to understand about who he was or about what had really been happening in Jerusalem over the past couple of days, I think it was important that they were telling the story as they knew it. And now, I just gotta say, I don't know, I've never been in North Africa, unfortunately. I hope someday I get to go. I'm sure folks are real friendly. This is a level, what we see with this, with these folks, Cleopas and this other guy, what we see with these folks, this feels like the Iowa nice to me. You know, we've talked about this before, right? This feels like the Iowa nice to me, because first of all, two guys, you're hanging out with your buddy, a lot going on, you're talking about everything that's happening, you're walking down the road, and some stranger shows up and is like, what are you talking about? Now, it would be a perfectly natural thing to be like, nothing, right? But they don't. Maybe they're excited. I mean, maybe they're excited to talk about it. Maybe they want to talk to somebody about this. I don't know. But they welcome this stranger into their conversation, and they say, are you the only person who doesn't know, in Jerusalem, who doesn't know what's been going on? And Jesus, I love it. He's like, well, what are you talking about? I mean, I don't know. You tell me. What's been going on? So they tell him, Jesus, we thought he was the guy, the one who was going to liberate us. But then our priests, our religious leaders handed him over to be killed. And now, 3 days later, like, it's crazy because some folks are saying, like, his body's not there. Some folks are saying he's risen from the dead. We don't know what to think, right? And then this stranger, remember, they don't know who this is. This stranger says to him, oh, how foolish you are and how slow you are to understand what's the scriptures. And then starts like teaching them their own tradition, their own scripture. Now, again, even if you were open to like welcoming some stranger into your conversation, as soon as they say, how foolish you are, that might be the time where you're like, all right, hey, thanks, buddy, but we're done. We're actually going the other way, right? But they don't. They continue to walk with him, to listen to him. And when they get to Emmaus, when they get where they're going, I love this because it doesn't say, like, Jesus didn't, like, hang out and, like, so, what are you guys doing for dinner? No, I mean, I'm just going to, I got no plans, but it's okay. You do your thing, right? And wait for them. Jesus just was going to continue going on, and they say, whoa, hold on, no. Look, it's getting late. You shouldn't be on the road by yourself at night. Plus, it's about dinner time. Let us share our food with you, right? And this tells me that even though they may not have understood all of the theology or all of the, they may not have grasped all the wisdom or all the intricacies, the facts of what was going on, they understood something essential about who Jesus was and what Jesus was doing, right? Because here they are willing to not just put up with the stranger in their midst, but welcome them, provide radical hospitality, share their food with them. And here's the thing, folks. This is the thing I think that we need to make sure we understand. This whole time, Jesus has been, I mean, I would love to have Jesus unpack the scriptures for me, right? And show me all the ways in which, like, just like say, okay, you think that it's this, but let me tell you, it's really this, right? That I would love to have that happen. It's never happened to me yet. So that's why, you know, I'm still fumbling through and trying to do the best I can, right? But that's not when their eyes are open to who Jesus was. We don't ever hear whether or not they had an aha moment where like, oh, this guy's right, right? We don't know how they felt about all the things he was saying. We don't hear that there weren't our hearts burning while he was opening the scripture. We don't hear about that until after it's all said and done. It's when they extend him grace. And then in the breaking of the bread, they recognize who he is. You've heard me say before, most of you probably have heard me say before, every scripture, every story in scripture is both particular and universal. This is a particular story about two particular people in history at a particular time in a particular place walking along. And Jesus comes up to them and they can't recognize him. Jesus is that stranger in their midst, right? We will never live in that historical moment in time. Jesus shows up to us in different ways. And yet, we do encounter strangers in our midst. And even though we will not live out this particular scripture, the universal message of this scripture holds true. Jesus has told us that as we treat the least of these, the people in the most need in our community, the people with the least amount of power in our world, as we treat them, so we treat Jesus. That when we welcome the stranger in our midst, when we feed the hungry, right, when we clothe the naked, when we visit the prisoners, that we do this with Jesus, that it is Jesus revealed to us. This whole month and a little bit into the up until Pentecost, we're going to be talking about the stories that matter. And it's not just the stories in the scriptures, although I think that this story matters, but it's your stories. It's the places where, whether or not you understand all the scriptures perfectly, or whether you understand all the theological ins and outs of God's salvific work through Christ, those moments where you have offered grace, and in the midst of that grace, experienced grace yourself. Many of you know I deal with clinical depression. So my whole life I've had bouts of depression. And I will tell you, I am medicated for my depression. I think that I believe in God and the miracles of modern medicine. And so that's the journey that I'm on. I don't tell anybody else what they should do with their mental health journey, but that's the journey I'm on. And I still experience depression from time to time. And there are times when the only thing that helps me when I feel like the things that I'm, well, and really, with clinical depression, it's not things, it's not situational, right, by definition. It's the only thing that helps me when I feel like there is no hope is if I can muster just enough energy to try to help somebody else that I don't have to. And in helping others, I find that, I don't know if it's just that my stuff feels like it gives me a little more perspective, or it just puts me beyond myself, right? In those moments where it feels like nothing is ever gonna be okay in my life, it gives me some connection to the idea that it's not just about my life, right? That I have power. When I'm powerless over my life, there is power in giving up a little bit of something for somebody else. Those moments where in offering grace, we experience grace. There's a reason that our sacraments, the most holy expressions that we have in the church, don't involve complex elements or, you know, brass crosses or gold or you know, there's a reason that our sacraments surround bread and water. Because when we gather together and remember and express God's grace, we discover that everything is holy. That God is present in the most basic things of life. And that, yes, we find God's holy stories in our scriptures. But as we gather here together in the church, not just on Sunday mornings, but as we weave our lives together as a community, we are weaving our stories of God together into a sacred tapestry, becoming who God is calling us to be. And not just that, but we create space for new people to come weave new stories into this tapestry. And that means that as new folks come, we're not inviting people to come be like us, but to come weave their story of their experiences of God into the tapestry of who we're becoming, and therefore change who we are. And that's hard, folks. Change is hard for everybody. And so to be a community that lives in the, like, that one part of our purpose is to be changed, constantly changed by new people coming and becoming. But that's part of the slippery slope, right? That's part of the tension that we live in. That's part of who we're called to be. We make plans for where we're headed, what we're called to do, how we're going to live that out. And we make space for the fact that with each new person who joins us on that journey, the plan may change a little at a time as we learn more and more how to be the people God has called us to be.